You see, over there, Moses talked too much. When he was talking to God, doesn't matter. Because, you see, Moses was talking like this. For half an hour, he will talk about the stick he's carrying as this is something. Because he has to talk with God. Everybody does. But with Khodar, he should behave. He didn't. Yes?
The exit resulted in deposing Khodar, and he said, "Go. You are one that talks too much. This is a separation. Mm-hmm. Oh, Moses, you are garrulous. Go far off, or else be dumb with me and blind. And if you go not, but remain sitting in despite, you are gone in reality and severed."
Did you get it? Read it again.
"And if you go not, but remain sitting in despite, you are gone in reality and severed."
This is the trick. This is the trick, and is honestly how it works. He says, listen, this is Khodar speaking, right? The evergreen. I say, listen, you Moses, if you want to be with me, you should keep quiet. You cannot doubt and question whatever I do. So be quiet or get out of here. And you know that we don't kick someone out. I say, and if you don't get out, you sit here. In reality, you're not sitting here anymore. Because if I'm not going to teach you anything, and you're not learning anything, it is as if you're not sitting here at all. That's how it works. Your presence should be full-heartedly here. Then it works. Yes?
"When suddenly you commit an act of impurity in the ritual prayer, it says to you, go speedily to purify yourself. And if you go not, you will be moving in vain. Verily, your prayer is gone."
Yeah, imagine that in the middle of prayer, you do something wrong, you fart. Okay, you have to go and wash yourself and come back. And if you don't, are you praying? If the prayer is not accepted, you have to do something for it. You don't do that, but you go on in prayer. That's not prayer. It's like attending an assembly like this with some hidden agendas in mind. That hidden agenda will not work, and nothing else you will gain here. You will waste your time. That's how it is. Yes. That's why you have to keep quiet and listen and not question too much and not carry on with the doubt of the ego.
"Verily, your prayer is gone. Sit down, O misguided man. Go to them that are your mates, that are enamored of your discourse and thirsting for it. One who keeps watch is superior to those who slumber. The fish have no need of one who keeps watch. Those who wear clothes look to the launderer. The soul of the naked bathe illumination as its adornment."
I don't know how they translated it like that, and how it could be translated somehow. And I would say, there are these people who are fashionable. The fashionable people will look at your dresses. That naked beauty is not for those kind of people. Naked beauty has another market. You should choose. Either go with the fashionable people or come with these naked fellows. Because these people are naked. They don't dress up. They don't hide. They don't believe in their existence anymore. They believe in Fabra va Fana. Therefore, you should choose. There are two different stuff. Remember, we are at the beginning of that story, that everything is relevant here and there. But here, in first paragraph, he read the story for the next paragraph. In this one, he brought it to the point that say, listen, there are two different attitudes. There is the campus of the naked fellows, and there is the campus of the fashionable people. Those people, they look to the outside, so they look at you dress up. These people know. You choose, yes?
Either withdraw aside from the naked, or like them, become free from body garments. And if you cannot become wholly naked, make your garments less, so that you may tread the middle path.
This is that in between that he started to talk. Sheikh was telling that fellow that go in between, make it half and half and things like that. He said, half and half is for this. If you cannot be pure like these people, who they care about nothing, just one, hap. For them, hap exists and nothing else. So you're completely naked. You will choose. Of course, I know you cannot drop all your dresses. You cannot drop all your intelligence and wit and all that. But make it less and less. That's the key. Yes?
How the fakir excused himself to the sheikh. Then the fakir told the sheikh...
You see, at the beginning his name was Sufi, but now he is fakir and fakir and fakir because he is the enlightened one, yes?
Then the fakir told the sheikh how the case stood and coupled excuses with the discharge of that obligation. To the sheikh's questions he gave answer good and right, like the answers of Qadir. Those answers to the questions of Moses, which Qadir, by the all-knowing Lord, set forth to him.
Are you listening? He changed the position of that guy who was one of these Sufis, and others blamed him to talk too much, eat too much, sleep too much, and all that, right? Mm-hmm. Now he is a fakir. Then, first of all, he didn't question. Here he will answer to Sheikh. But by answering, I don't mean answering. I mean something else. I mean spreading some light on something, explaining something, making something clear. Like the answer of Khidr to Moses. These are not the answers that a fellow will give. These are the answers that comes from Haq. These are those, let's say, intuition, inspirational stuff, or you could even call it wahy. There is something that comes to these people. So this fakir is talking with that language. You pay attention. Listening to this means I'm giving you the words from mouth of this fellow, but it is like listening to Khuda. Okay, now listen.
His difficulties became solved, and he gave to him the key to every question beyond telling. That fakir also had inheritance from Qadir. He bent his will to answering the sheikh.
He went to an extreme to replace this fellow from that chair of the Sufi to be an enlightened fellow who is talking from Haq. So listen to him, because he's going to explain the wisdom for you. Remember, the word is hikmat, right? Okay.
He said, although the middle path is hikmat.
Yeah, wisdom. Wisdom is correct. Because we translate hikmat to wisdom, not intelligence. And he said, although that in between you talk is the hikmat,
yet the middle path too is relative.
Uh-huh.
Relativity to a camel, the water in the stream is little. But to a mouse, it is like the ocean.
You see, this fakir was present when Rumi was talking about another story prior to this about the mouse and the camel. So he will give it as an answer to Sheikh. Yes, remember that story I was telling? So it's relative to the camel or to the mice, yes?
If anyone has an appetite for 4 loaves and eats 2 or 3, that is the mean. But if he eats all the 4, it is far from the mean. He is in bondage to greed, like a duck. If one has appetite for 10 loaves and eats 6, know that that is the mean. When I have appetite for 50 loaves and you for 6 scones, we are not equivalent. You may be tired by 10 rakas, I may be worn thin by 500.
Okay, they talked about 3 stuff only, which was what? Remember this? Was eating, talking, sleeping, right? He said, it's not only that. There are other stuff as well. Okay. Let's talk about prayer. Why they don't object over there that I pray 50 times more than them? Yes?
One goes barefoot to the Kaaba, and one becomes beside himself as far as the mosque. One in utter self-devotion gives his life. One is agonized at giving a single loaf. This mean belongs to the finite, for that has a beginning and end. A beginning and end are necessary in order that the mean or middle between them may be conceived in imagination.
Means what? Means, ladies and gentlemen, please, when you're talking about mean, maximum, minimum, I don't know, right portion and all that stuff, remember, all these we apply only to quantities, the word of quantities. The qualities, there is no in between less and more over there. That's why we call the enlightened fellow, we say they have their eyes open, the rest is closed. We don't say you have one of your eyes half open. It doesn't happen like that. This is another stuff which is beyond relativity. Relativity is for existence only. Yes?
Inasmuch as the infinite has not 2 limits, how should the mean be applicable to it? No one has shown it to have beginning or end. He said, if the sea were to become ink for it, if the 7 seas should become entirely ink, there is no hope of coming to an end.
Do you remember? Read that again.
Inasmuch...
No, if the 7 seas...
If the 7 seas should become entirely ink, there is no hope of coming to an end.
Do you remember that? We hear that. When he was trying to explain love in the story of the parrot, over there he said, oh, this intelligence in explaining the love is like a donkey in a mud. That's another story. Over there he said, if all the oceans will become the ink, you cannot write down the story of love. There is no limit to it. There is no beginning. There is no end and all that. Here he repeated that. Remember, because all I'm talking about is love. Do not forget that. And love is like this. Doesn't accept quantity. You cannot love more or less. Either you love or you don't. It's like that. Yes?
If orchards and forests should become pens altogether, there would never be any decrease in this word. All that inks and pens should pass away, and this numberless word is everlasting. At time my state resembles sleep. A misguided person may think it is sleep.
When it comes to sleeping now, okay. We talked about the food and we said whether, excuse me, it depends on who you're talking to.
for someone 3